Hello, and welcome to Rule of Carnage. This is another conversation in a very extended series of conversations between Glenn Ford and myself, Mike Hutchinson, about the designing of better miniature games. Last time on this feed, we were discussing how specific you make your setting and how you go about communicating what sort of world and what sort of stories the players are expecting to encounter inside your miniature game, which of course mostly exists in the form of a book, and you have to summon that stuff into their imaginations so that they can build terrain and gather models and then play out stories. And we talked a bit about how specific you should get and how much white space you should leave for players. I'd like to talk a bit this time round about some of the ways that you can actually communicate that stuff to your players. I took receipt of a new book recently. This one's hot off the press from Osprey. This is A War Transformed, which is by Frederick Sylvan Slater, and it's a sort of weird World War One game. And it put me immediately in mind of Mars Code Aurora, which is something that we've been playing and talking about recently. And the reason is that this game has no pictures of miniatures in it. And this game has no illustrations in it. This has very beautiful illustrations, and this has very fun and quite nicely processed photographs of miniatures. And it just got me thinking, because when I started making rule books for my miniature games, I just assumed that I would have both. And so I was lucky enough to be working with Osprey, who commissioned the illustrations, and I did all of the painting and photography for Gaslands, because I just thought, well, it's got to have pictures of the things in it. And so as we're thinking about delivering the setting, delivering the fantasy to your players, clearly you've got text and you've also got illustrations, and then you've also got miniature photography. You've probably got some other bits like graphic design, but I'm setting aside like the rules experience. So anyway, I just thought that was an intriguing thing, because one thing that I found with the lack of illustrations in Mars Code Aurora is that I wasn't immediately sure what the world was supposed to look like cinematically, because when I look at a tabletop full of miniatures, I'm translating that in my mind into a cinematic image, because, you know, the models are static and they're in poses that don't always make sense with what they're doing, and the terrain's a bit, you know, whatever, it's fine. But I can sweep over that with my like magical crayon of imagination if I know what I'm turning it into, and if I'm turning it into a Star Wars movie, if I'm turning it into, you know, a gritty World War II war movie or something. So go ahead.
I might be about to say what you're about to say in many ways, is that I also, though, I feel like I need both ends of that coin. I want the illustrations, because they're sort of like, this is what you're meant to turn the miniatures into in your head.
They're like an aspiration, not in the way that like a well-painted miniature is an aspiration of how you could paint your miniatures. They're an aspiration that's unachievable, of like, this is the coolness, this is the sexy, explodey thing that is going to happen inside your mind when you put all of these elements together.
But I personally feel like I also want the pictures of miniatures in play, because I want to know what it is that I'm meant to be transforming into the other thing. I kind of want both sides.
That's right. And I think that's one of the things that A War Transformed doesn't do for me, is I pick it up and I'm like, oh, cool, these images look great. What is the designer's vision for how I translate that onto my tabletop? Even if that vision is like unachievably well executed, and they've done like, you know, miniature trenches, dioramas with just incredible levels of like little bits of wire, and or it's like my Gaslands things, which is like some like roughly sort of textured terrain coverage with some like toy cars with paint splodged on them in half-assed ways in very different, like, I think Gaslands, almost like the photography of Gaslands being so rubbish sort of says, hey, doesn't matter, just grab some toy cars and be rubbish with them, it's totally fine.
I mean, also not to be like harsh or cynical in some ways, also when I know that the creator of the game has taken the photograph of the minis and the table in question, I at least know that they built those minis for themselves once, so they know what the experience of the hobby of their game is actually like, and sort of playing through it. Because sometimes I've seen books, you know, which don't necessarily have pictures of the armies or the things that have been created, or pictures that weren't of the writer's collection. And I sort of go, I'm not sure that you've ever actually built all the stuff you're asking me to build.
Right. And it's tricky because, like, when you're trying as an indie designer to achieve, you know, top tier quality, you're looking in the pages of White Dwarf and you're looking at these gorgeously laid out miniature dioramas, you know, professional cameras, professional lighting, smoke. And in the Discord, you know, we've been seeing, you know, phenomenal efforts from indie designers in our community, trying to push the envelope with the small amount of equipment that they've got, trying to achieve miniature photography greatness on their own small scale. And so one of the ways that you can reach for that, and what we're doing in Hobgoblin, is you can pay people to paint your miniatures, and then you can get them laid out by people who are better at photography. And what you might end up with is, you know, miniature photography that doesn't necessarily exactly represent a game in action. Although, to be honest with you, even if you're laying miniatures out for photography yourself, you're probably laying them out for maximum aesthetics and not necessarily making them realistic to what a game in progress is like. But I do agree that the photos of the miniature for me connects me as a reader to the game designer in just an additional way that says, oh, okay, when we go about instantiating this hypothetical game into actual tabletop physicality, like, you've at least given me a way to think about doing that. And I think that when you fill the pages of your rulebook with photographs of miniatures where you've covered the base up with sand so you can't see the base, and they're kind of laid out as a little diorama, I actually find that is a step worse for me. Like, that's a distancing for me. It's a very nice piece of photography, but it's pushing me away from the game experience. It's not quite explaining what I'm supposed to be doing and how I'm supposed to be doing it. And that might just be purely a personal taste, but I think that it's clear that what was missing for me in missing the miniatures was, number one, I don't know what I'm supposed to be hobbying to do, and I'm not inspired to hobby because you're not giving me pictures. And number two is, I'm not sure what your imagination of the game is. And I think that first thing's super important, because we talked before about how the magic of these sorts of games is that they ask you for mental preparation and then for physical preparation, and then they let you play, and then they let you can sort of digest and reflect and plan for the next turn of that loop. And without having miniature photography, I think you're just missing out on engaging the player's brain in, like, a whole at least quarter of the game experience, which is inspiring them and helping them think about what an army for this game is supposed to look like.
Yeah, so for example, you know, for a game that I'm doing this for at the moment, with Puke Apocalypse, I wanted to have, like, photographs of miniatures in the book. And also, as is often the case, you need to have some examples, or it's a good idea to have some examples of, like, some trickier rules bits and pieces. And I went and I did some, like, diagrams of the rule situations in, you know, vector art and et cetera, and whatever I did to it, it was quite sort of clean and sharp and cold, because that's the nature of diagrams.
Right, and that's perfectly acceptable, very good way of delivering a piece of complicated information.
Absolutely. It also felt kind of weird within Puke Apocalypse to, like, you know, be talking about somebody blasting somebody else.
Right, right. You draw a little circle which was supposed to represent a base, yeah, of a miniature, but actually it would have been better to have found a pog and, like, got a dog to chew it and then taken a photograph of it, and that would have been a better circle.
Yeah, and so what my compromise for this, you know, in Puke Apocalypse, is that the examples and the diagrams are photographs of miniatures. Mm-hmm. And so they are specifically very much in a sort of way that they might be during a game, because they are showing the mechanics of the game. And then the background things are, you know, drawings and artwork. And for me, what's been kind of nice about that is that's a process of telling somebody else what the world is and what the setting is. And then they come back to you with, like, their version of that. And there's a degree to which you can go, like, well, no, do more of this and less of that, and make them a bit more this and a bit more that. But there's a limit. You can't, like, puppet the artist's brain as they're drawing. They're still going to give you their interpretation of your world. And I think that's a nice thing for me, because it's like, whoever's reading the book is going to be having to interpret my world at like an additional remove. And so they've, in some ways, the artist's version of my world is a way into it for people who aren't me, because it was a way into it for somebody who wasn't me. And so I like the idea of the artwork is by necessity a stage removed from my brain. And that's the sort of, you know, this is the world, this is the imagination, this is the wider thing. Whereas the miniatures photography, I painted those miniatures, I modeled those miniatures, and that's me telling you, this is physically how you're meant to play the game. Do like this, because I need you to do those things the way I told you to do them.
Yeah, and another rule book that does that really nicely is the Flames of War rule book. And so that, like in yours, like all of the kind of movement and combat examples are little, you know, eye level photographs of the actual Flames of War miniatures with arrows showing where they're going and stuff. And because it's all on little scale terrain with little hedges and buildings and stuff, it's really easy to see what a table of Flames of War is supposed to look like, because the producers of the book have just presented you straight away, like, here's what it's supposed to look like. I think the other thing that's cool about the miniature photography in Puke Apocalypse is that because you've ended up pushing quite a unusual painting style, you also deliver a sort of a hobby challenge. You sort of throw down a hobby gauntlet and say, all right, well, how about this game looks totally different, and how about you try something completely fresh from a hobby perspective? And that's great. Like, there are other games that do that, like, you know, Sludge and Turnip 28 both do that thing where they're like, wait, why not you take, you know, World War One miniatures and, you know, kit bash them so they look absolutely insane. And like, clearly a War Transformed is probably thinking the same thing, or at the very least, like, why don't you combine monsters with historical miniatures like in Silver Bayonet? And those are all good ideas, but they don't leap off the page into my like hobby inspiration gland.
Yeah, it's interesting because like War Transformed there puts me in mind a bit of Broken Legions, the Osprey Roman Lovecraftian thing. And that's, again, that's one of those ones where it's like, I heard the concept, I heard the idea, and I was like, woo! And then I got to the book and I'm like, I'm not feeling this. It's not coming over to me that you're super excited to put, like, you know, this guy and a Roman legionnaire on the same tabletop and go yam 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 yam, because that's kind of what I want you to be doing before you write that rule set, because that's how I want you to cross to me.
Right, yeah. Don't theoretically get excited about it. Like, genuinely be delighted by the hobby prospect of making that come to life on the tabletop.
Sometimes Broken Legion, sometimes to me reading it felt like somebody somewhere had gone, well, Roman legionnaires versus Lovecraft monsters, that ought to be interesting, oughtn't it? And it's like, it doesn't feel like they may went, yes, centurions being eaten by tentacly beasts, I must make this thing. And that's kind of, I want that guy, after like the craziness has wound down, giving me the game that they've created from that.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So I think that's probably a sensible enough discussion on, like, oh my goodness, you should probably have both illustrations and miniature photography in your book, and why? Just put them both in. They're brilliant. They're part of the fantasy, and they're part of how the fantasy gets instantiated into this form that we have. And by missing one of them out, like, I guess if you miss the illustrations out, you can do a lot with clever miniature dioramas. But I do think that you are missing a communication step in this sort of like, if you're going to draw a communications flow between my brain and the player's brain, like, illustrations are just a critical communication node on that path. And you lose some resolution in that transmission without them.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it, certainly for independent designers, is like, being realistic about your resources. You know, because a lot of not very independent books, it's a guy with a camera and some miniatures doing his best. you know, not a lot of them have, like you say, the resources of GW, and trying to make those into making necessity into an advantage, I think is like the biggest rule when you're an independent designer, is rather than like swimming against the tide and trying to ice skate uphill, you know, and going, right, I'm going to make my photography as good as GW's photography, going like, okay, well, what's the advantage of having photography that good? Is that not off-putting to people? They know that they can't sort of get to that level. And I think it's interesting, like in some of the older GW books, you often get like the designers stood round a table physically playing the game, and you can see their faces and how they're dressed. And it feels sometimes like those photographs are in there to make it feel less mythic and impossible that you could ever achieve this, because look at that dude, you can do whatever he's doing, look at it.
Yeah, to give a quite specific example of this, I'm really proud of my work in Blaster issue 4, where I took some miniatures and painted them red and then put them with some unpainted terrain, but I did it in quite a like a stylistic way, and so I wasn't trying to fight, you know, high quality photography at its own game. I just did exactly as you said. Like, I took the fact that I didn't have much time, I didn't have much resources, and I wanted something really stylish, and I just pushed it in a particular art direction that was just ridiculously easy to achieve just by thinking about it carefully and using my limited resources in a tactical way.
Yeah, a bit of stylization, a bit of thought, a bit of consideration that higher end is not necessarily advantageous, and to consider like what things you can offer as an independent, how you can be more welcoming, maybe
keep it punk, keep it black metal.
Yeah, you know, possibly, yeah, maybe it's more welcoming to be less professional occasionally.
Yeah. That professional sheen is great if you can maintain it. And if you add some professional sheen and then drop it, it looks crud. Whereas if you just wang it out and just like, no, this is raw, this is what I can make and it's real and you're going to love it, then that, I think, is, you know, it's authentic, to use the A word. But it's also, it's fun and it's different and it's achievable over the longer term.
Absolutely. And it puts me in mind of some of those older, you know, you were saying sometimes some of the older sort of sets of war games rules. It feels like a guy at a pub sort of telling you his game and welcoming you into his world. Sometimes that where it just feels like it's a photograph that's just been taken in the middle of a game, like at your mate's house with not the best lighting ever, not the sort of the highest definition camera, is very welcoming because it just feels like, yeah, all right, if you're playing it and enjoying it, maybe I will as well, you know?
That's maybe a secondary conversation, but, like, even beyond the miniature photographer, like, isn't it a shame we don't have, like, modelling how-to sections in rule books anymore? Like, why doesn't your game explain, like, okay, this is a World War One, like, Weird War One thing. Like, here's how I make trenches so that you can make them too. Or like in those naval war games from the 70s, like, here's how to carve battleships out of balsa wood.
Yes, here's how to make and pour your own mold so that you can copy the thing that you actually bought.
But like, the world is so rich with options now, and you can 3D print things, and like everyone knows how to do everything because YouTube exists. But like, so what? Like, it's cool to put as a communication tool for like what it is that you want people to do. Like, I wanted to put a hobby section in Gaslands rulebook to say, like, here's how you make and convert toy cars. And I wasn't allowed to. And now I've remembered that, I'm angry about it, because it's exactly what, like, the first thing that everyone wants to know is, like, how do you take two halves of a car across? Well, you get a drill and you drill the rivets out. Do you super glue the wheels? Yes, you super glue the wheels. And I could have just put all of that in, like, a 3-page, like, Mike McHutchinson, you know, paints a Gaslands car in 6 stages, where it goes easy, 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 ridiculously difficult.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the things as well. It's like, hopefully, stop and do the hobby for your game at a relatively early stage. Understand what the hobby's like. Was it enjoyable? Was it overly, like, required too much of people? And then if you discovered something kind of weird whilst doing that, why not write it down somewhere and tell people? Weird information is worth giving people. And there are sections in Puke Apocalypse.
That's the theme of our podcast right there.
There are sections in Puke Apocalypse that suggest how to upgrade your minis over time and things. So I don't think it's totally alien. But yeah, there's a lot less of it than there used to be, and I sometimes miss it. Well, on the note that you know,
the note of reminiscing,
and offering weird information, I think that's very much our brand. So we can sign off on that one. Yeah, first of all, you know, which do you prefer, photographs or illustrations? I think most people have an opinion one way or the other. And how do you feel when the other one is missing? When your least favorite version isn't in there, you just like, well, great, that's brilliant, I never wanted the damn things. Or are you like, it's not my favorite, but it's like not having salt in a meal. I didn't want to sit down and eat a block of salt, but I notice it when it's gone. You know, have you sort of fiddled around with miniatures photography of your own, a bit of graphic design on some diagrams and illustrations? Are you becoming more comfortable with it, or are you worried about your failings in that area? Tell us these things and more in the comments section. Hit on the like and subscribes while you're in there, and swing by the Discord, particularly if you're making lovely photographs of lovely things, because you can't tell us that in the comments section. Show us it in the Discord so that we can see and learn and steal your photographs. But for now, from this episode of Rural Carnage, until next time, I think it's going to be a thank you and goodbye. So thank you and goodbye. Bye-bye, 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 bye-bye.
Bye-bye, cheers, bye.